they're in a league of their own, and I'm just a guy from Batavia who struggled with drugs and alcohol, you know, found Christ, and now I find myself here behind this pulpit. And it's a little overwhelming sometimes, and so during the announcements, my heart starts racing because it's go time, and my adrenaline's pumping, and all I could say was, God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me, because what in the world am I doing up here tonight? Who am I? And so I believe that God has given me a word to share with you, and I never talk about what I don't know about. At least I try not to. I believe that if somebody's going to share something with somebody, they should know what they're talking about. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is something I've been going through the past couple weeks, and you know I've gone through it before. And I'm going to talk to you about failure, and I'm going to read some verses to you and pull up my notes. But I'm not going to talk about just any kind of failure, because everybody fails sometimes. Everybody makes mistakes. But I'm going to talk about a deeper kind of failure, and I don't know if you guys are going to know what I'm talking about, but sometimes I make mistakes and I fail, but I fail God. You know, God has called us all to something. Everyone sitting in this room, you have a calling, you have a gift, you have talents and abilities that God had given just to you. And sometimes you feel him calling you to do something, to go somewhere, to say something, to do something. And what do? Some we do the exact opposite. We're completely disobedient, and we do exactly what God doesn't want us to do. And sometimes I find myself failing what God's calling me to do. And when I do, I'm not going to lie to you, it hurts. I don't know what it is about me, but you know, listen, when I make a mistake, I get up and I brush myself off. But when I feel like I've failed God, I'm telling you, it breaks my heart into 1,000 pieces, because there's so many times when I felt like God was calling me to do something, but I didn't listen out of fear, whatever it may be. So I'm going to pray in a minute, but I want to read these verses to you, and then we're just going to spend a few moments just talking about what we read. And if anything I say to you tonight speaks to you, I don't want you to be afraid to come down here and see me afterwards, because I want you to know that the motto of this church is we do life together. And it's true. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for me being vulnerable and stepping out of my comfort zone and say, hey, you were talking to me. Will you help me? And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 16, verse 23 through 30. And I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version. It will be up on the screen. But if you have your Bible, don't take my word for it. I want you to read it for yourself. I want you to open your Bible or your tablet or your mobile device, and I want you to read it for yourself. I want you to read along with me. I'll give you just a second to find it. Judges chapter 16, verse 23 through 30. And I'm reading out of the New International Version. And so, verse 23 starts out, and it says, now, the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain. And while they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against him. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, sovereign Lord, remember me, please, God, and strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. And then Samson reached towards the two central pillars that on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And then he pushed with all of his might. And down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. And so my question is to you, have you ever failed like that before? Like what I was talking about a minute ago, has God ever called you to do something or put something on your heart and you just did the exact opposite? You did what you wanted to do instead? Have you ever said something that you shouldn't have said? As Christians, right, we're always supposed to be filled with an encouraging word, right? I have people come up to me and say, what's the word, Chris? And I'll say, today's the day the Lord has made. Right? Always got that Christian lingo. Always got the right thing to say at the right time. But you ever said something you shouldn't have said? Have you ever gone somewhere you shouldn't have gone or did something you shouldn't have done? What do you do when you realize that God had given you an opportunity to minister to somebody or be a blessing to somebody or do something for the kingdom? What do you do when you realize that you've blown it? Because I've been in that position before. What do you do when you wake up and you realize that God has given you an opportunity and you just failed? Because I'll tell you the truth. I know that there's a call in my life. And here come the tears. Because I was in jail. And I know how it feels to be touched by God. And I knew at that moment that I was going to be used by him. I made it my mission in life. And so many times God has given me opportunities and it seems like I blow them over and over and over again. And just real quick, for time's sake, I'm going to share just a couple of stories with you because I want to be vulnerable with you. A couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I failed as a father. You know, being a father is a special gift from God. When he created my son, he thought who should be his father. He thought of me. And he ordained me to be that child's father and to raise him and to guide him, and direct him. And then one night I had some problems with him. And I dropped the ball. I did things I shouldn't have done. I said things I shouldn't have said, and I woke up the next morning, and my heart was broken. Not just because I let down my son, and I let down my wife, but I felt like I felt God, because being a father is a great responsibility. I shut off my phone. I refused to answer any phone calls. I locked my door. I ignored people when they came to see if I was okay. I didn't come to church. I had made up my mind that I didn't have what it took to be the man that God wanted me to be. That I made too many mistakes. And that I was fake and I was phony. And Christians don't act like that. And then a couple weeks ago, I had some problems with this guy. He kept doing this thing that just bothered me. Over and over again, I talked to this guy and I was very Christian about it. Loving, caring, compassion. And then one day he caught me. Man, I wasn't having a good day. And I'd said some things I shouldn't have said. And I did some things I shouldn't have did. And I'm walking back to my house, and I feel the Holy Spirit speak to me. He says, Chris, what was that? Pastor Chris. That's what people call me in the church, Pastor Chris. Why did you say those things? And my heart broke again. And the enemy, he wants you to believe that you can't do it. He wants you to believe that you make too many mistakes. You're not who God says you are. You're who the world says you are. And thank God for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank God for City Church, because you know what? When I fail, I'm honest. And I reach out. And I went and talked to Ryan. I pulled over to St. Anthony. I said, Ryan, can I talk to you a minute? He said, yeah, come with me. And we went in his room and he shut the door. And Paulie actually came and he said, Paulie, go away. And we sat down and we talked. And I told him what I did. I told him things that I'm not going to tell you because you look at me different. But I'm not perfect. So I told him everything that happened that day. And he says, man, that's not how we handle that. But you know what he did? He encouraged me to keep going. He encouraged me to keep serving God, keep loving people, not believe the lies of the enemy. And so I walked out of there feeling a little bit better. And I realized, you know what? Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can be who God created me to be. And so for the next few moments, I want to talk about this man named Samson, because he has a powerful story. There's a great call on this man's life. Now, he made some really, really poor choices. But the end of his story is amazing, and that's what I want to share with you. So we're going to pray, and we're going to invite God into this word, and then we're just going to get right into it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word tonight. God, who am I but just a broken vessel? And so, God, I pray that you allow your Holy Spirit to move through me. Take my words and make them yours. God, I pray that your word will touch the hearts of the men and women that are here tonight, God, and not one person will leave the same. I pray that everybody has an encounter with your Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so for the next few moments, we're going to take a look at this man, Samson. Samson was a man with tremendous potential. But unfortunately, Samson's also a man who made some very poor choices. He's a man who made some unwise decisions. And these decisions that he made, these poor choices, they not only hurt him, but they hurt his family, his friends, and his loved ones. So who is Samson, right? First of all, let's talk about who this man is. What do you mean he was a man with tremendous potential? So Samson was a man who lived in the land that God had given to the Israelites. But at this time, there were still other people living in this land. They were either living in the land or they were still attacking the land, trying to take it from the Israelites. And God used men called judges during this time before they had kings. They hadn't appointed a king yet. They used these men and he called them judges. They lead the nation of Israel. Their job was to protect them, to guide them, to watch over them. And Samson was one of these judges. And God visited Samson's parents before he was born. And they said, your son, Samson, is to be a Nazirite for his whole life. And the reason why I say I add that is for his whole life, because, you know, the vow of a Nazirite was typically only for a set period of time. It was, if you felt like you wanted to serve as a priest and serve in the temple, you would take this vow, and it was usually for only a year or two. But not in Samson's case. Samson's case, he was to be set apart and dedicated as a Nazirite his whole life. It wasn't a choice. It was a calling from God. He was destined to be a judge over Israel, and he was destined to be a Nazirite. It was not something he chose to do. It's something God created him to do. But being a Nazirite put restriction on Samson's life. Some limitations, you would say. And some of them included he couldn't drink a fermented drink, beer, alcohol, wine, whatever you want to call it. He couldn't cut the hair on his head. We'll talk about that in a little bit, because God gave him a gift and it had something to do with his hair. He couldn't touch anything unclean like a dead body or anything like that. So he had these limitations on his life, things he could do and things he couldn't do as a Nazirite. But in exchange for these limitations or these restrictions, God gave him a special gift. In exchange, he gave him supernatural, I call it supernatural, exceptional strength. Samson was a beast. The dude was a maniac. He was unstoppable. He was so strong. Nobody could beat Samson. Samson, he once killed a lion with his bare hands. With his bare hands. Just think about that for a minute, because this is all true. Samson once got mad at his father-in-law. I wanted to put this in there because I thought it was funny. He once got mad at his father-in-law, and he caught 300 foxes with his own two hands, and he tied their tails together. He lit them on fire, and he let them loose in his father-in-law's crops. Why? Because he was mad. That's why. But who can catch 300 foxes with their bare hands and light your tails on fire? Nobody. You got to be super strong to be able to do that. And so that's Samson. And Samson was actually captured after that by the Philistines. But you know what? He broke free because he's super strong. God had blessed him with this special gift that only he possessed. But sadly, Samson, the super strong judge, the super strong leader of the nation of Israel, he violated every single restriction that God had put on his life. Every single one of them. Everything that God said he couldn't do, Samson did it. Do you know, I don't know about you, but me, one of my greatest fears, the fears of failure. The enemy was attacking my chair, and I said, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, over and over. Why? Because I didn't think I was going to do a good job. I'm going to fail, and they're going to think I'm silly. I shouldn't get up there. And one of the greatest pains we feel is regret. You know, when I woke up the next morning after that incident with my son, I regretted everything I did. I wish I would have done it different. And when we do fail, that great pain of regret, it stings. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. And sometimes we wake up and we realize you blew it. You blew it. You made a poor choice. And the good news is, as you're going to see with the story of Samson, that just because you have failed at something, that doesn't make you a failure. A failure is an event. It's never in a person. A failure is something you do. It's something that happens. But it doesn't define who you are. And so we're going to see as this tragic story of Samson turns into a story of hope. And I'm just going to take a few minutes. That's all we got here. I'm just going to go verse for verse and point out a few things that encouraged me to keep going and not to give up on the call of my life. Verse 23 and 24 says, it's where we started. It says, now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain. So who's Dagon? I'll tell you who Dagon is. He's a false god. It's that simple. You know what he is? I looked it up. Dagon is a half man and half fish. He's a man's head on a fish body. And here they are, and they're in this temple, and they're worshiping and praising this false god, this fish god named Dagon. And it's more like an arena. Because you know what they are? There's different levels to this temple. different tiers. And inside of this temple is a big field. So I'm going to call it an arena. Here they are in this arena, and they're worshiping and they're praising this false fish god. And they're praising him because they've captured their enemy. And their enemy is Samson. Remember the guy who should have killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey? I think I skipped that one, but he did. He killed 1,000 men with a donkey. The one who tied the foxes together, that's him. That's Samson. He was doing it to them. He was 1,000 men he killed with 1,000 Philistines. That's who he killed. And so now they're praising this fish god because they've got Samson. They finally got him. And verse 25 says, while they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them when they stood him among the pillars. Now remember who Samson is. Samson is a man called by God, created for a special plan and purpose, and he is in the top ranks of the nation of Israel. He is their leader. He is their judge, and he is unstoppable, super strong. And now here he is, captured by the enemy. This is failure at its worst. It doesn't get any lower than this. His eyes have been gouged out. His hair's been cut, and all his strength is gone. Samson's in chains, and you know what they're doing? They're mocking him. They're laughing at him. Bring him out so we can watch him perform. Let's make fun of him. And so now he is devastated. He's lost his position. He's lost his gifts. He's lost his sight. He can't see nothing. All this God-given potential, I'm telling you, I don't believe it gets any lower than this. Where Samson is at the bottom of the barrel. He ain't nobody now. He's blown it. And the natural response for anybody who's failed, anybody who's made a mistake or felt like they failed God, the first thing we do is what do? We show remorse, right? I'm so sorry for what I did. Man, I feel really bad. I've got caught. I'm a horrible person. These are all the things that I would say to myself when I made these mistakes, and I still make mistakes. I feel bad. I'm horrible. I'm sorry, God. I wish I wouldn't have done that. And sometimes, if you're like me, we try to shift the blame because a couple of weeks ago, the first thing I did is try to blame that person. Well, if he wouldn't have said this, then I wouldn't have said what I said. Well, if he wouldn't have done that, then I wouldn't have did what I did. And I realized at that moment that's not the response that God is looking for. Response is good. I mean, remorse is good. You should show remorse when you fail. You should feel sorry, but that is not enough. God is looking for something else, and that is a child of God who falls and who makes a mistake and who fails should repent. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for repentance. But what is repentance? Repentance is strong enough to admit that you were wrong. It's not shifting the blame on somebody else and saying, if they didn't do this, then I wouldn't have done that. No, that's not what repentance is. Repenting is owning your mistake and saying, it's my fault. Repentance is when you're on enough to say, I'm sorry, I messed up. It's nobody else's fault but my own. Repentance is saying, God gave me something to do, and I blew it. Because the reality is, when we fail, we can't unsay the things we say. You can't ungo the places you go. You can't undo the things you do. You can't unlook at what you look at, and you can't unthink what you think about. You can sin, but you can never unsin. And so remorse ain't going to cut it. Feeling bad ain't going to make it better. But what's going to make it better is repentance. Turning from what you've done and turning to God. Because believe me, brothers, you can't undo the things that you do. As much as we try and talk our way out of it, it'll never work. God is looking for people who are strong enough to admit when they're wrong. And so now you have Samson who's falling, and he's failed as a leader of a nation, as God's special chosen child with all the supernatural strength. He's failed. He's bound, and he's chained, and his eyes are gouged out of his head. And if you're in Christ, I want to tell you before I move on, you are forgiven. And you don't have to carry shame and guilt around with you when you fail, because that's what the enemy was trying to do to me. And so in this story of Samson, if you take a moment and you slow down, and you read between the lines of what's happening here at the end of his life, it seems that Samson has a moment where he realizes, like an aha moment. He realizes he's failed. He realizes he's blown it. But he has a moment and he says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Ain't I the one that God chose? Ain't I the one that he gave the special gift to, the special talent to? Ain't I the one that he called and set apart before I was even born? God has given me this strength, but I lost it when I lost my hair. So he comes to his senses and he realizes he's made some unwise decisions. But he also realizes hair is starting to grow back. He realizes his hair is starting to grow back, and he thinks to himself, maybe God is still with me. Maybe I'm not too far gone. Yeah, everyone's here mocking me, and they're laughing at me, and I can't change what I've done, but maybe I can change the future. And so he decides not to feel sorry for himself anymore. He's not going to blame anybody else or point a finger. He's going to take responsibility for his actions. And let's look at verse 36. And it says, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. And suddenly I believe that Samson does something that I should have done, something maybe you should do, as he steps over an imaginary line of commitment. He says, put me where I can feel those pillars. I want to feel them. I want to put my hands on them. And he steps over an imaginary line of commitment. And he says, never will this life be about me anymore. Never will I feel sorry for myself when I fall down and make mistakes. This life is going to be about my God, about the God who's called me and given me this special gift and talent. And now he only has one commitment to make because he's down, he's out, and that's God. He has to commit his life to God. It's about the God who called him and gave him the strength. Verse 27 says, now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Now listen, Samson is devastated. Like I said, dude, they gouged his eyes out. We can't even see. They cut his hair off. They beat him and they've chained him. And now he's being mocked and he's laughed. And he only has one thing to do, and that's turn back to God. And when we make mistakes and we fall and when we fail, the only thing that we could do is get up and turn around and run back to God. And that's what Samson is about to do, as you'll see in a moment. He says, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to believe the lies of the enemy. Yeah, they got me. I made a mistake. I failed. But you know what? My God is greater. And I'm not going to sit here and let you have your way with me. And so the call on Samson's life, it never went away. Never. All his mistakes, all his failures, all his poor choices, God was still there with him. And the call in his life never went away, just like the call on your life. It'll never go away. God created you for a plan and for a purpose. No matter what you do, no matter how far you fall, that call will never go away. God will always be waiting for you just to turn around and come back. And that's all he's doing, is waiting for Samson to turn around and come back his whole life. He watched Samson sleep around and murder people and lie and steal and do all kinds of horrible things. And he just stood there. Whenever you're ready, Samson. Whenever you're ready. And so now Samson finds himself in this place of devastation. He's lost it all. He's bound by chains. His eyes have been gouged out. But he finds these pillars. Verse 29, 28 and 29 says, then Samson prayed. He prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me, please, God. And strengthen me just more, once more. And let me, with one blow, get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. And then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson prays. He doesn't feel bad for himself. He doesn't point the finger. He prays to God in his time of devastation. He's the failure. He's the screw up. He made the mistakes. And he cries out to God and he says, what? God, strengthen me just once more. He pleads with God to strengthen him just once more. Everybody in this church say one more time. One more time. That's what he asked God. He asked God for one more time. And he's saying when he prays, he says, I'm changed. I'm different. I'm not the same. I realize I made mistakes and I realize who my God is. I'm going back to where I belong. And he prays. He doesn't point the finger. He doesn't make excuses. He says, God, strengthen me one more time. And I want you to say amen if God has ever given you a second chance. Because I can tell you, God has not only given me a second chance, he's given me third, fourth, and fifth chances. What I did last week, I'm telling you, I dropped the ball. As a minister of Christ, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus, the way I spoke to that man was unacceptable. And you know what I did? I found him. And I apologized. And I repented and I turned from that. But I'm not going to stop. And maybe you're here, maybe you've made some mistakes. And maybe you failed. And maybe you feel like you can't do what God has called you to do, but I'm going to tell you that's not true. That you can be that man or you can be that woman. It's not too late for you. Amen. And he asked God for one more chance. And he asked God to strengthen him one more time. And when a child of God fails, and when we fail, there's only one thing that we can do. And that's turn to God and ask him for help. Proverbs 24:16 says, for the righteous fall seven times, they will rise again. You will fall down. You will make mistakes. On your journey of becoming the man or woman God has created you to be, you will fall down. But the Bible says you will rise. You will rise again. And some of you are here tonight are like me, and you've made mistakes. Some of you are here, and maybe you feel down. But I want to tell you, with God, you're not out. Samson's down, but he's not out. You're not what you did. You're not the mistakes that you've made. You are not what the world says you are. You are who God says you are. And even in your failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. Even in your failures, even in your mistakes, God will still accomplish his purposes in your life if you'll let him. If you'll just turn to him and ask him to help you. Verse 30, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And then he pushed with all of his might. And down came the temple on the rulers and the Philistines in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. And on that day when Samson decided to push these pillars down, I believe he became everything that God created him to be. He was completely sold out. It was no more about him. It was all about God. And he didn't care about his own life anymore. And he pushed those pillars down. And I want to encourage you, it's not too late to do what God has called you to do. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care what you've said or what you've done. The call in your life never goes away. You may be down, but you're not out. You see, Satan, what he does is he makes strong people weak. And God makes weak people strong. And so I'm asking you tonight, I got some pillars that I need to push down in my life. Complete vulnerable moment. Anger. I got a short fuse, guys. You mess with my kids, I lose it. I got a pillar in my life that's getting in the way of God's plan for me, and I'm going to push it down tonight. I'm no longer going to be a prisoner and feel like a failure no more every time I mess up. What pillars do you need to push down? What is it in your life that is getting in the way of God's plan for you? What is causing you to stumble and fall? Are you like me? Is it a pillar of anger? Do you have a bad temper? Push it down. Is it a pillar of pride? Are you like Samson? Samson had a pride issue, guys. He did what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, and how he wanted to do it, and look where it got him. And maybe you're here, maybe you got a pillar of pride that you need to push down. Or maybe it's lust. Do you have a problem with lust? Or addiction? Or how about unforgiveness? Because you know that unforgiveness will get in the way of what God wants to do in your life. And all that produces is bitterness, anger, and rage. And maybe you're holding on to something that's happened to you from your childhood. Or just recently. I want to encourage you, don't hold on to it no more. Push that pillar down. You don't have to feel like a failure anymore. You don't have to go through what I went through. I wanted to quit. People don't know when I shut my phone off and refused to answer my door. It's because I was done. I didn't want to be fake and be phony. I didn't think I had what it took. You don't have to feel like that. That's why I share this message with you tonight. To help somebody, you will fall down, but you can get back up. But you have to identify the things that are causing you to fall. And when you identify them and when you find out what it is, Samson knew that those pillars had to come down. So he put his hands and he pushed them down with all of his might. You don't have to feel like a failure. You can push him down. So I asked Ryan if he would come up here tonight and close in prayer because he is a friend and brother. And I'm going to ask him to do that. But I want to encourage you tonight. It's time to push down the pillars in your life. It's time for you to let go of the thoughts of being a failure. It's time to let go of the thoughts of pain. It's time to push those pillars down. Because it's the Spirit of Christ that lives inside of you. Let him be your strength in your weakness. And so remember, guys, you may be down, but you're not out. Will you pray for us, brother?
Go ahead and give him a hand. You know what I love about Chris is his humility to be transparent. And you can't get healed until you get real. Okay, so He addressed a few things tonight. He began to talk about lust. He began to talk about pride. He began to talk about unforgiveness. And if I have a sense for what the Holy Spirit does, in a moment like that, in a space in history, you have a choice to make. Leave the way you came or come to the foot of the cross in humility. Scripture says, came to me. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that I'll never be the same. I'm going to pray tonight. But I believe there's a glory, there's an anointing in this moment. Would you stand with us? If you connected with Chris tonight, if you connected with what the Holy Spirit has had tonight in this place, in this moment in history, I just want you to begin to come now. Chris, I want you to come right down here. I want you to begin to lay hands on him tonight. We believe through faith, we believe in this moment that the Holy Spirit can change history. He can change your destiny. He can point you back to a purpose and a calling. Come to the foot of the cross. Father, we come to you humbly. We come to you transparent. You already know. Where can I run, O Lord, that you're not there? How can I hide that you wouldn't be there, O Lord? So I come to you in humility. Not letting you know what you don't know, but Father, acknowledging that you do know. And that I need your grace. I need your loving kindness. I need your mercy. I need your touch one more time. I've said that over and over again, just once more, O Lord, and I failed. But tonight, come to you with real need, acknowledging that you can do what I can in my own strength. Spirit said, there's more. Don't leave the way you came. Don't go into Thanksgiving with the weight. Stuck with unforgiveness. Let the grace of people, just stretch your hand out towards these that have come and begin to pray. Just down here. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your people. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this time. We ask you for a great move of the Holy Spirit Sunday. In the name of Jesus, a great move of the Holy Spirit next Thursday, next Sunday. Father, rest in this house. Let your grace be poured out from the breast milk of Calvary in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Be very quiet as you're leaving, please.